I tell you, one other thing too that's exciting this week. Matthew's been all over Europe the last 11 days, and he's back home as of last night. Now let me tell you something, this kid was in communist countries. He goes everywhere. And it seems like that God's protection is around this kid. It scares his mother and I, some of the places he shows us and Texas is from. But the boy's making a difference all over the world. And it's amazing. But he is back home in the United States of America.
We got pornography, we got all kinds, we got tobacco, we got alcohol,
People aren't even addicted to spending money. I mean, there's addictions on all forms, shapes, or forms. And some of you may have an addiction and don't even know it. But you do. Because when it somehow or another you get that need, whatever it may be, and once you get that need, you want to fulfill it. The trouble of it is what you're going to do to fulfill that need is what crosses the line on whether you're an addict or not. Because a lot of times to fulfill that need, you have to break the law. Somehow, not only the legal system do you have to break, but your own godly laws you have to break. Because addiction controls you more than you control it. And people would do things that they would never even think about doing if they were sober. If they were not an addict, they wouldn't think about doing what they do to fulfill this addiction. But because it controls them, they have to do it. As if they don't, some people even die because they're so addicted to whatever it is. And again, sometimes it's legal, sometimes it's illegal. But whatever the case may be, you understand this. When God is out of your life and God is not first place, saints will put something in God's place. And when he does, God help you. Because this is tough. She mentioned the healing place. I've been there several times. It's amazing. It's amazing what you see when you go into this place. It's amazing what you see some people have to go through for what they call to break them down off these drugs. I mean, they shake, they scream, they cry. Sometimes they have to tie them down. It's ungodly what suffering they have to do to break them of these habits. And then once they get them past that bump, then they have to take them to rehab and try to figure out what caused you to do this. What causes you to put yourself in this type of condition? What causes you to almost take your own life? And they begin to try to help them. And then they begin to teach them how you can overcome this. And the healing place has all these different steps that they take you through. And according to what your addiction is, these steps can change. And it becomes a journey to save your life. You see it every day. You see it, don't you? You see it. It's amazing. It's amazing the messes that people can get themselves in. Look at number two. You cannot cure another person's addiction. And that's the truth. You want to. There cannot be anything on this planet that I can imagine. Now, I've had to watch my child go through cancer. And it's about killed, Monk and I, to watch what she's had to do. But on some level, it's nothing compared to what some of these families have to watch their children go through when they are addicted to something. It's awful. It's awful. And what is awful is that you want to fix it. You want to fix it. And when you can't fix it, the only choice you got is to go to God Almighty, who can. You cannot cure another person's addiction, but you can encourage that person to seek help. Addicts are cured when they decide, not when you decide. What you can do is this. You can be supportive, you can encourage, and you can help them find the help that he or she needs. Number three, if you are living with an addicted person, you need to think about safety of your home. Now let me tell you this. I can't think of any worse thing to do than to tell your child they're not welcome in your home. That's got to be hard. There comes a time, folks, where if you're not careful, when when you let an addict into your home, if you've got other children, they'll steal from you, they'll rob from you, and until they get healing, they possibly might even kill you. That's how bad this can get. Understand this. Tough love is tough love. But sometimes, you have to be tough. Number four, don't assist in prolonging the addiction. When you interfere with the negative consequences that might otherwise accompany an addict's negative behavior, you are inadvertently enabling the addict to continue the destructive cycle of addiction. So don't be an enabler. That's a fancy word of saying this. You're not trained. You may be a mother, you may be a father, you may love your child, but you're not trained. And if you think that you can take on your child's addiction and save them, you may be making it worse. That's all this writer's saying. If you're not trained, don't attempt this. You encourage, you help, you find places where you can take these people who are trained, like the healing place. And you know what's great about the healing place? Do you know who they employ? They employ addicts. That's who they employ. Because, you know, if I've never been on heroin, and I got somebody here freaking out, what am I going to tell them? Because you see, you can't preach to somebody on drugs. You got to wait till you get them sober before you bring Jesus into it. I mean, you got to know what to do. And if you've gone through it yourself, when they're sitting there shaking and begging you for something, you can say, hey, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, I was shaking just like you. But look at me now. You can defeat this. This is why they employ addicts. It's because these people have been there, done that. And so if I can see somebody that's going through the same way and they made it. See, if I say, oh, you need to get off that. Well, you ain't never been on it. And that's the truth. Don't talk to me. You know, your life's perfect, preacher. You got everything you want. Don't talk to me. I don't hear nothing you got to say. And again, you can't talk about Jesus because they ain't sober enough to hear about Jesus. But now they'll listen to somebody who's been down in the dirt with them and got out and raised themselves out of it and got help and now is helping society and become a helpful person in society. Now they'll listen to that person. That's why the healing place hires these people. Because more likely they were part of the healing to begin with. You get the picture? All right, let's fix it up. Help is available. Lots of people have experienced addiction and have lived to tell it. They want to help. Let them. And the last thing is this. Always remember this. No matter how bad a person is, no matter how bad, they can be helped. And they deserve to be helped. It's very easy for you and I to sit back and judge. It's very easy to sit back and say, oh, I never did that. These people are crazy. That's a shame. Very easy for us. Very easy to judge families who go through it. Instead of judging somebody, how about let's pray for somebody? And how about let's be thankful that no matter how aggravating your child may be or your family may be thankful that you're not in a hospital room watching them shake all over the place, not for where they want to be or not. How about instead of judging somebody, let's be thankful that you don't have that. You don't have to deal with that. Be thankful. People don't need people to judge them. These addicts don't need people to judge them. They need people to love them. And sometimes you can't let them in your home. Sometimes you have to say, I'll take you. And Lord knows, don't give them money. If they need a meal, you go buy it for them. If they need clothes, you go buy it for them. Take them to the place. Walk them up to the door. Try to see that they get inside. I mean, you have a role to play as family. But after you've done all that you can do, ultimately it's going to come down to their choice. Now, I don't care if this person's 16 or 60. You can believe this if you want to, but statistics will tell you we've got as many people over the age of 60 that's addicted to drugs as we got people that are 60. The difference is the ones over 60 are addicted to prescription drugs. The ones 16 are pretty well addicted to human drugs. Both are killing you. Both are a problem. And it's all about the fact that somehow or another they can't deal with life. I'm here to tell you, but life is tough. It's tough. I couldn't get through, Monica and I couldn't get through one day without Jesus. The only reason that we have survived and what we have done and gone through, and I'm thankful for both of my kids. Believe me, I am. They're both very, very good kids, very smart, educated themselves. But I mean, they're not angels, but no demons, okay? Sometimes they act like the weather, okay? Understand it, okay? But, I'm thankful that I've not had to deal with what some people have had to deal with. But, say this again, tomorrow's another day. I don't know what I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow. Matthew was told 14 months ago that if he didn't lose the weight, he'd be dead by the time he was 40. Came home and told his mother about that. Boy got up to 340 pounds. Now he weighs 220. As he made up his mind to do something about it. But anybody got a perfect life? You know, we all deal with issues. But instead of blaming God, how about let's be thankful? It's very easy to blame God. Why is my child doing this? Why is my spouse doing this? Why is this happening to me? And we just blame God and blame God. Don't you love me? Don't you love my family? Let me tell you something. When I first recognized Monica in the hospital and called her my name, that's when you know if somebody knows you when they call you my name. So if I don't call you my name, it means I can't remember. But I could have, once she described to me what all I had gone through and how close I'd come down, I could have got mad at God. I could have blamed God. But the first thing that came out of my mind, of my mouth, was thank you, Jesus. It wasn't time to blame God. It was time to thank God. We've got to get in the mindset, folks, when things go wrong, quit blaming God. Be thankful to God. You got a God you call on, and that you can, that loves you and cares about you, and cares about your family. Believe me, when you approach God with thankfulness, you'd be surprised. Within 48 hours, you all heard me tell you, within 48 hours, I was running around here like a hog in the hospital. For 3 days, you don't know that's going there. The reason for that is because I thank God. Okay? I believe that. Because if I had blamed God, I might still be in that blasted hospital. Or I might be dead. So let's watch our attitude toward God. Believe me, Jesus loves you and loves your family no matter what you're going through. No matter. His grace is sufficient. Give a warm hand of applause. Let us stand this. Every head bowed, every eye. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, how we are so thankful for your Spirit, and we are so thankful for your presence in our lives. Father, we are so, so thankful for your grace. But Father, if there be one here today that is suffering, one here today, Father, that's may this be a time, Father, that they come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. To those who need me to pray with them, come and let me pray with you. We pray that your grace abounds in our lives. Father, again, we're thankful for Jesus and his presence in our lives every day. Father, as we've talked, as we've preached on this series of addiction, Father, we have so many people that are suffering. We pray for your grace over these families and over these addicts, and soon, Father, they'll understand it's not worth their lives. Father, we're thankful again for who you are. Bless these moments. In Jesus' name, as your head is bowed and your eyes closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?